You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy 4. Hallelujah. I just got something burning in me I want to share with you, and I believe it'll help you if you'll listen to it and follow along with me. It doesn't matter what I think or you think. What matters is what God says. Amen. That's why we turn to the Scripture and go to the Bible, and all the little cute sayings and, you know, jokes and stories we tell, they should point to Scripture. Scripture doesn't point to them. And I hope you remember not just the stories and examples, but you remember the Scripture. I might say something to help you a little bit, but, you know, you get you through a day or two. But if you get a hold of something God said, it'll help you for a lifetime. Paul's talking to Timothy, and Timothy was a pastor. Titus was a pastor. In fact, Paul wrote, you know, two letters to Timothy. He wrote a letter to Titus, encouraging him, talked to him about church government and what things ought to, how things operate in a church, and talked to him about being a leader, you know. And what I'm going to go over here has to do with just leadership, being a leader. And you may say, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, every one of us is a leader in some respect. Every one of us is an example to someone, whether we're a parent or whether we're a brother or sister or employee or employer or a friend. There are people that look up to us. I mean, all of us in some respect at some point in our life will be leading others. And it's important that we live our lives in a manner that's worth copying. Yeah, are you with me? You know, it's like the guy said, you want to live your life in such a way that the preacher won't have to lie about you at the funeral. You know, so he wants to say, you know, if you live your life in a way you're not ashamed of, then somebody won't have to make up something at the funeral. You know. But we are examples. All of us are. We're all ambassadors for Christ in some vein, some form, some fashion, some way. We are examples to others. There are people that look up to us. We need to keep that in mind, because living the Christian life is not just about us. It's about more than us. It's about those around us. It's about the influence that we have on other people's lives. I realize as a pastor, no matter where I go around the world, I can go to Australia, Great Britain, and we travel some. I preach out a lot. But I know that wherever I go, I'm still your pastor. I still represent you. I don't just represent Jesus and the church. But I think about you when I go places. It keeps me straight. There are certain things I will not do. I don't care if I'm on the other side of the world because of you, because I'm an example for you to follow. I don't want to just show you, I mean, just tell you what to do. I want to show you how to do it. I want to live what I preach. And that should be the greatest testimony that all of us have, is that we actually live what we preach. Amen. That we don't just tell people things. We show them. We show them by our lives. Our lives should be a message, and it should be an example. And that's the greatest leadership tool you can get a hold of, really, is just living the life, doing what you say, acting out the things that you say. You know, why would I say do this, do that, pray this, pray that, live this way, live that, and then I don't? Amen. You know, do like I say, not like I do. My life should testify. Well, he's talking to Timothy, and he says in the 4th chapter of Timothy, in the 11th verse, these things command and teach. Command and teach, I like that. Command and teach. I love, you know, the Bible's not full of suggestions. I think that's kind of the way we look at it, you know. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I might try that. No, the Bible tells us the way it is. And the Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. You know, it'd be nice not to lie. No, He commanded us not to lie, okay? Thou shalt not lie. And the reason being is He's trying to mature us, grow us. He wants us to, you know, to be a benefit and a help and a blessing, an example. God doesn't lie, we shouldn't lie. God forgives, we should forgive. Amen? Amen. God loves, we should love. God doesn't just say love, He loves. He doesn't just say don't lie, He does not lie. He actually lives what He says. You know, I don't think you can separate spirituality from character or integrity. You can't do that. You know, people say often, well, he's a very spiritual person and just lives like the devil. Maybe he's got a gift or anointing in some area. But that's not spirituality. Spirituality cannot be separated from character. Gifts are not spirituality. Charisma, as it were. That's not spirituality. I mean, gifts may open a door, but character keeps it open.
That's right. Yes.
You know, it's been said this way, that your gifts may get you to the top of the mountain, but its character keeps you from falling off.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And a lot of people are gifted way beyond their character, their ability of their character to sustain them. And so, you know, because they don't have any character, their gift will open a door and then they'll close it. They'll get them up there and get recognized and boom, they'll just fall on their face. There's nothing like character. There's nothing like integrity. There's nothing like consistency and diligence. There's nothing like really living a life of love. Really living like the Bible says to live. Amen?
Yes.
And time tells that. Only time tells that. It says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth, because he was a young man. But be an example. Woohoo! Boy, this is shouting time here. I know this is an exciting message, but this should be a soul-searching message. This should just challenge us to be an example. Be the example. I like that. He didn't just say, tell them what to do. He said, be that. Don't just tell them to love, be love.
Amen.
Don't just tell them to live right, be holy.
Amen.
Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. And why is that so important? Because there are people that look to you. Yes. In life, there's all, you may not think it, but there are people that are watching you, people that are looking at you.
Yes.
Now, of course, he's talking to a minister of all people. I guess ministers ought to live holy, don't you think?
Amen.
But I don't know why that would be different with anybody. I think we ought to live holy. I always look at it this way. People ask me sometimes, Pastor, do you think it's all right if I do this or do that? And I just say, well, what would you think if I did it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're the pastor. I wouldn't think it'd be, well, if you don't think I ought to do it, then you don't need to do it.
Amen.
Pretty simple. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's don't make it complicated. Let's just do as unto others as we'd have them do unto us. So if you wouldn't have me do that as your pastor, then you don't need to be doing that. Okay. So he says, be an example to the believers. I love this. In fact, one translation says for or of the believers. And you can take that either way. I should be an example of what a believer is. And I should be an example to believers of what God can do.
Amen.
See, this is why we need to serve God. This is why we need to pray. This is why we need to have some victory in our lives. This is why we need to overcome some things in our lives. This is why we need to get, well, we need to get, you know, get some peace and get some healing, get some answered prayers. We need that because people need to see the example of victory. They need to see that it can be done. That when they're going through what maybe you went through and you got over it, they'll see that you got over it. Hallelujah. They'll have hope. See, I can be hope to someone because I hung in there. I stayed with it and I prayed and I trusted God. And yeah, I went through a tough time, but I came through it. Hallelujah. And it's an example of believing to believers. I give hope to those that may be going through that same thing. This is why we don't need to give in to temptation. This is why we don't need to give in to circumstances and give in to the world and just fall down every time the wind starts blowing. Are you with me? This is why we need to live right and have some victory and have some success in our life. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about character mainly. In fact, that's really what he's talking about is character. I should develop in these things. My life should get better as a Christian. In the sense that I should be kinder, I should be nicer, I should overcome anger. I should. Are you with me?
Yes.
Two of you are, and the rest of you are wondering. But anyway, that's okay. Why? Because people are looking at me. And of course, he's talking to a leader. But take it for yourself. You've got kids, they're looking at you. You've got a brother or sister, they're looking at you. You've got people out there, listen, there's people out there on the edge of believing that are watching you. Not quite there. But they're watching. They're watching you. Seeing how you react. And you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. I'm not saying that. But we can work on our lives. In fact, that's really the only life we can work on. Isn't that right? I'm not responsible for everybody, but I am responsible for me.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm the one that's got to, you know, straighten up. I'm not here to straighten you out. I'm here to straighten me out. Hallelujah. I do my best to straighten you out, you know, when I get up here. But that's really not my job. To share with you and live the life, and hopefully you'll catch it.
Amen.
So it says, let no man despise your youth, but be an example. In other words, people might argue with you, but you live the life. Let your life be the message. You be the message. To the believers, or for the believers, or of a believer. Listen to what he says. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Amen. Yeah.
Man, hey, this would be some good homework, wouldn't it? This will probably keep you busy at least tonight.
Sure. Amen.
I mean, if you went through this and started checking your life out, do a little, you know, self-examination here. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. You know, is what Paul said. And check yourself out. Are you how good of an example are you in word, in the way you talk, okay? Good question. How about the way you act? Are you a good example? I mean, when you look at your life at the end of the day, the sun goes down, okay, right before the head hits the pillow. And a pillow is East Texas for pillow. But before you close those eyes, you stop and you ask yourself, go through, do a check of your life that day. Would you want people copying what you did?
Amen.
You know, the situations you have. You'll probably find some things you need to work on.
Yes.
I know I do this with Brenda all the time. I think of all kinds of things she needs to work on. No, I never do that. Are you kidding? I got enough, you know, enough to clean up my own life. But that's where the example comes in. You know, I mentioned in class, you know, my daddy, you know, had a rough background, and thank God he changed his life. He did change his life later in life. But in my younger years, he had a rough time and with alcoholism, and got an AA, thank God, and got sobered up, you know. But of course, I was grown by that time. And I love my daddy. I still love my daddy. I don't have anything against my daddy. I don't believe that anything happened to me was his fault. I believe I'm responsible for my choices. And, you know, come on, get over your parents, all right? Thank God for your parents. They probably did the best they could do with what they had. Your life is your life now. It's your responsibility. You can't just go back, well, you know, Dad did this, Mom did this, and that's why I'm the way I am. Well, you got a brain. Quit doing that.
That's right.
You recognize it's wrong, just stop it. Pray for your parents, love them, but don't sit there and blame, play the blame game. I'm not a victim, and you're not a victim. You can take the Word of God, and you can overcome anything.
Yeah.
If you'll apply yourself and quit playing the victim. Well, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen.
But anyway, back to my story. I love my father, and he was my hero, as it were. And as I grew up, of course, I kind of got into the same kind of things, you know, really. Even when he was telling me it was wrong and straightened his life out, still, being my daddy, you know, you kind of want to subconsciously do those things and be a man, think that's what being a man is and all and so on and so forth. And it wasn't until I got saved that I realized how wrong all those things were. I mean, I knew they were wrong. He told me they were wrong. Stay with me. But when I got saved, I began to understand, hey, that's not supposed to be copied. I still love my dad, but I realized there are some things that I didn't need to copy. If he had to do all over again, he'd change it too. I say this with utmost respect for my father. So, you know, when I say these things, I'm not playing a blame game. That was my fault for making those wrong decisions. And then when I got in the Bible and got in the Word, I began to find out what the right decisions were. Yes. And what I should copy and what I should not copy. And, hey, what I should leave as an example for my children.
Amen.
When God dealt with me about being saved in Deer Park, Texas... So it's Pasadena, Texas. Pasadena, Texas and Chateau Creole Apartments. Red Bluff Road. I was working at Upjohn Chemical. And my foreman was witnessing to me, been witness to me for a while. And, of course, I'd battled it back and forth. I'd got to a point where finally I believed in God. I didn't believe in God when he first started. I was drugs, jails, wild lifestyle. But I remember distinctly looking at Chris. Chris is about a year and a half old. And I think he had, I don't know, eating spaghetti or something, had something all over his head and hair, and I was sitting there looking at him across the table, you know, he's just a kid, making a mess like kids do. And I was thinking, well, maybe there's a God, maybe there's a heaven, maybe there's a hell, maybe I'm going to hell, I can live with that. I mean, this is kind of crazy thinking, you think. And I looked over at Chris, and I saw him, and now I know it was God, then I didn't. The thought came to me then, well, yeah, you go to hell, that's fine, but what if he goes to hell? And I thought, wow, I am not my own. Nobody lives to themselves. Nobody lives to themselves. Now, I didn't get saved because of Chris. That was just one of the things that God used to, you know, to minister to me. I got saved because I realized that God loved me and he's for me.
Yes. Yes.
But that added to the mix of the fact that me serving God was going to affect more than just me.
Amen.
And me going to hell was going to affect more than just me too. And I think about this. In fact, Ken and I talked about this weekend. We were helping Liz and Jonathan move and went through that torture all day long. They moved out of a three-story apartment into a three-story apartment. But anyway, I was out of one three-story, into one three-story. Okay. So I'm like this today. But we were just talking about how, you know, we're examples to people. And, you know, people look to us. Somebody does. Somebody's looking to you. Somebody's looking up to you, you know. And you often think about shows, and everybody wants to be a hero. You want to be a hero? I'm going to tell you, serve God. You want to be a hero? Serve God. You will save somebody. You will rescue somebody. Somebody will miss hell and go to heaven because of you.
Yes.
And you will be a hero. See, we don't think about that. But me living my life, making those decisions every day, living holy, living right, loving people, praying for people, trying to, you know, repent when I'm not perfect, but repent when I sin, do the best I can. I am striving to be a hero.
Right.
To somebody, to my children, to those that are looking to me. I want to protect them from the devil. I want to rescue them from hell. Yeah, you think you're just going home and you're living your life and you're working and you're paying your bills and you're going to church and you're serving God and you're praying over your meals and you're turning things over to God and you're living holy. You think that's just a mundane, boring thing. Listen, you are a hero if you're doing that.
Amen.
You're an example to someone. People are getting saved. You may not even know it, the impact that you have on their lives. From doing this thing, just being this example, living this life, choosing to live my life according to God's Word so people can see Him in me. Let my light shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. And every one of us is a shining light. Let's don't put it under a bushel basket, you know. Let's don't blow it out. Let's keep the light shining. Amen. But He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Woo, we live in a wild world, don't we? Lord, I'm saying this world is just, it is just getting ungodlier and ungodlier. It's amazing what gets across our screen, TV airways and the language, I'm just the filth. It's just... You know, this world needs someone to live right.
That's right. That's right.
The world is looking for someone that will stand up for Jesus. And I can tell you, it takes a man to live for Jesus. It takes a real woman to live for Jesus. Real men love Jesus. Real men pray. Real men live holy. Real men are faithful. Real women are faithful.
Amen.
Let me get off my soapbox here. I'm just trying to help you and get you to search your soul. Amen? This is good. I mean, it's good for us. We need to do this from time to time. Just examine ourselves. Think about what this is all about. I got a purpose here. You do too. Listen, I'm not just here to get saved. If that was the case, then, hey, just take me to heaven as soon as I accept Jesus. God left us here for a while. You ever notice that? People get saved and they're still around for a while. Maybe you hadn't picked up on that. There's a reason for that. We're still here to be that light. To share our life with others.
Amen.
So others can come with us. Hallelujah. So they can see there's hope and there's help and there's healing. Praise God. In this suffering, sighing, dying humanity of a world we live in. So He says, be an example. I love that. You just cannot make that any stronger. Peter said the same thing to the elders. He said, be an example to the flock. Paul said it again, I believe, over 1 Corinthians. He said the same thing. Or 1 Thessalonians, he told them. He said, be an example. He says, you are an example. Hopefully our church is an example. Hopefully I'm an example. Hopefully you are an example of what it means to serve God.
Yeah.
What it means to have victory. What it means to make it. Hallelujah. Till I come, 13th verse, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's what churches should be about. There should be places where you come together, you read the Word, you exhort. See now, exhorting is real simple. That means I encourage you, I lift you, I instruct you, I preach to you. You know, we take the Word and then we make it personal. We take the Word, says the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then we turn around and say, you know what that? That means you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're not alone. You're not weak. You're not hopeless. Hallelujah. You got hope. You got help. You got Jesus. You can be that person that Paul's talking about.
Yes.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens
yes.
you.
Amen.
You can overcome sin. You can come out of that mess.
Yeah.
You can have
yeah.
victory. You can have peace. You can
Amen.
Have life. That's exhortation,
Amen.
See? You can make it.
Amen.
Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'm reading the Scripture, and then we're exhorting with the Scripture, and then we're getting into the doctrine, the teaching. What is it that we believe? That's what church is about. Sometimes churches major on one or the other, but I think we ought to have the whole.
Amen.
Man, I want the whole hog.
Yeah.
Call me Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. But I say that from the standpoint I think we need it. I believe we need it. God didn't offer things just, it's not a smorgasbord. God didn't throw it out there where you're like at some restaurant or cafe where you can pick and choose. He put everything out there we need, and we need it all.
Amen.
And so, till I come, is what Paul said to Timothy. He said, give attention, pay close attention to this now. You give attention to reading and exhortation and doctrine or teaching. Everybody say teaching.
Teaching.
Sometimes doctrine gets a bad rap, the name. But actually what he meant there was teaching, teaching, teaching. Now, I are a teacher. That's what I are. And I love to teach. And so I got that one handled. Now, the thing I have to be cautious of is to not just teach information, put facts out there and quote scriptures and put dates and all kinds of things and just be, this should not be a warehouse of useless information. We can put out information, just teach, 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 but we need to encourage and exhort with that teaching. Amen? And all the purpose of all this is to make you the best you could be. The purpose of this is to get Jesus working in your life so you can be a minister and you can minister to others. Now, you may not be a pastor, I'm not saying that, but you can minister to someone. There's someone that's looking to you. All of us are leaders in some respect. And really, leadership is about influence.
Amen.
It's really what it's about. It's influence. You know, I think about we're able to take the lead spiritually to some degree. Now, we're not the leaders of, Wills Point, Texas, as far as church is concerned. There's a lot of great churches. But there are things that we can get involved in and take some leadership because we have influence.
Amen. Yes.
And the more influence we have as the years go by, the more leadership we'll be able to take. You know, we took some leadership with Hallelujah Night, and not over the whole town, not over all the churches. There's great churches in our town, so don't twist what I'm saying. There's churches that take the leadership in all kinds of areas. But leadership is connected to influence.
Amen.
And influence is connected to character.
Amen.
So if I don't live what I preach, you can tell me all day long what to do, but if I don't know you people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you don't have moral authority to minister to someone, tell someone what to do if you're not living it. But living it, being the example, gives you that influence and gives you that moral authority. And that's what he's talking about. He's telling Timothy, listen, if you want people to follow you and listen to you, you be an example. In word, in conduct, in spirit. Are you with me? In love. You live this thing and they will flock to you. You practice what you preach, and people will listen to what you're saying. And that's moral authority, and that's influence. Our greatest influence is determined by what we do and how we live, not but just what we say. It's integrity and character. Thank God. It's big stuff. Are you with me? So here we are now in church, and this is so awesome because he's just ministering to the leadership there and talking about what church is about. And praise God, I believe that's what our church is about. Amen.
Amen.
I believe if you come here, you're going to hear the reading of the Scripture. You're going to hear exhortation, and you're going to hear good teaching. We should do that, those things. And we should have a church full of examples. All the ministries that we get involved with are just opportunities for us to be an example in conduct and all these things. And the world sees that. And that's what the world needs to see. Hallelujah. They need to see your marriage staying together.
Yeah.
There's forgiveness, praise God. And there's, you can start over. I understand that. God is in the forgiving business. And if you've had a divorce, and I realize you can't unscramble eggs. And, sometimes it's not repairable, not fixable. But you know what? We that are still married, stay married. I like what Brother Osteen used to always say, John Osteen. He'd always say, when he'd talk like that, he'd say, everybody look at your spouse and say this. In fact, why don't we do this? If your spouse will say, look at your spouse and say this to her or him. We are stuck. Okay, all right, just keep that in mind. That's it. Of course, he'd make a big deal. He was just saying, hey, this is it. This is the woman for you. This is the man for you for the rest of your life. Amen. Believe it. Be an example. Hallelujah. I think Brent and I are going on 37 years. Yeah. 37 years, coming up on 37 years.
Amen.
35 of the best years of my life.
Wow.
Well, I got saved after a couple of years. I just wanted, you know, just... Oh, boy, I know you're... It's like that guy said, 37 years. Has it really been that long or just seemed like it? No. Okay, being an example of love here. No, I love Brenda. I'll tell you, as the years go on, I love her more and more and more and more. We had the best time in Hawaii. It was just the two of us for 2 weeks. And, you know, I just love Brenda. I mean, there's nobody else I'd rather be with than Brenda. There's no question about it. Hallelujah. And I think she thinks the same thing. I don't know. Unless there's a coupon sale going on somewhere, then I am second place. There's no doubt about that. But okay. So it says here in the 13th verse, till I come, I'm just going to read through the 16th verse, y'all, so just to give you an idea of what we're doing. We're just taking some scripture here and just talking about being an example. Amen? And then kind of give an idea of what church is about. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you got a good church to go to? I mean, I love church. I love church. I get encouraged, and you know what? I get corrected, and that's good. I love that. I get rebuked in love. I mean, sometimes I get my plow cleaned. I go through the scripture and I go, man, whoa, okay, I got to straighten that out. I'm sorry, God, I repent. But that's good, because we don't want to continue going down the wrong road. You're killing yourself and everybody around you. Come on, let's get off that road and let's get back on the right road here. So God's not rebuking and correcting in anger. He's doing it in love because He knows you are going to destroy yourself and you're going to take some people with you too. Well, why don't we start with going on the right road and take some people with us the right way?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So He says, till I come, give attention. You give attention to this. You pay attention to this. To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You ought to pay attention yourself personally. Of course the church does that. But you personally ought to read the Bible. And you know what? You ought to get exhorted from it. You ought to get encouraged from it. You ought to apply it to your life. I love what David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yeah. See, you need to make it personal. God didn't just write this abstractly. This is not just teaching doctrine out there somewhere. This is a letter to you. And so be encouraged when you read it. Read it and be encouraged. He's not just a Savior. He's my Savior. He's not just a Lord, He's my Lord. Are you with me? He's not just a shepherd, He's my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that's connecting, that's making it personal, that's being encouraged, exhorted with the Word. The Word should not be far off. It should not be distant, out of date. Are you kidding me? It's up to date. It's future. So, read, exhort, and then, of course, teach. 14th verse, do not neglect the gift that is in you. I think that is so, so important to all of us because all of us are gifted with something. Mm-hmm. All of us can do something. But don't neglect it or ignore it or make light of it. You know, I know I'm called to teach. I know that. I know I'm gifted to do that. I didn't learn to do this. I had the opportunity to go to Bible college. I didn't even finish high school. Are you kidding me? But God called me out of drugs and jails and saved me. And called me, and then I began to minister in jails and prisons and Salvation Army and Open Door Missions. And before long, I started ministering in church, and then I started doing missionary work and going around the world. And then God called me to start a church here in Wills Point, Texas. And, you know, Dr. Gallup was here for a couple of years, and people were meeting in a Bible study, and it was just time. God said, this is time to start a church, and sent me up here. And, you know, I didn't have a college book, but I had a handbook on it. I had an instruction manual, and I had a gift, which didn't come from a college. Thank God for college. Thank God for universities. I'm for education. I believe it can enhance a call. I believe it can help you in ministry, but it will not call you.
Amen.
College cannot call you. And no, God calls and God gifts.
Amen.
And so He gets all the credit and all the glory and all the honor. I didn't get smart enough to minister and be at ease and connect the Scripture and connect to you and have that anointing come in. That's not me being smart. I can give you all kinds of stories about how unsmart I used to be. Okay? So that's not it. It's a gift.
Yeah, sure. Amen.
Are you out there?
Amen.
It's a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Y'all do know I'm gifted, don't you? Okay. Well, help me here. Come on. No, but it's not something I did. It's something He did. And so what I have to do is not neglect it and be faithful to it. You know, I'm faithful to it when I go around the world. I'm faithful when we go on vacation. I still gift it. I still got the gift. I can't even go to Hawaii and not preach. I can't go anywhere and not preach. I don't know. It's a gift. It pulls me. Pulls me. Draws me. People say, well, you're on vacation, man. Give yourself a break. Well, I don't consider, you know, being on vacation from God. Wherever I go, I'm not on vacation from Him.
Right.
And I don't want to take a vacation from that gift. Are you kidding me? You think this is a job? It's not a job to me. I love doing this. This is, you know, like you want to go out and fishing and hunting and whatever else women do. I don't know. But anyway, you know, you go out and play sports, whatever. I love to preach. Man, just let me have the Bible. Let me get some people together where I can encourage them and tell them God loves them. He's for them and they can make it. Hallelujah. Make my day. Are you kidding me? It makes my day. I am in my zone. I forget everything else when I get up here. I just love to preach. I just want to catch that anointing and bless people, encourage people. Are you with me?
Yes.
And I don't want to neglect that gift. I would be miserable if I didn't preach. Absolutely miserable. And see, I think that's a lot of our misery comes from not doing what God's telling us to do. Neglecting what He's gifted us to do. And we're all gifted to do different things. But see, you need to jump in and start being that, start living that thing. Be that example. Don't just think about it, talk about it. Hey, live it. Live the gift. The calling, whatever the thing is. He says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. Now, this is interesting because most likely what happened here is they were gathered together, Paul and Timothy, getting ready to go out into the ministry, and people were laying hands on him, elders, presbytery. It says, with the laying on hands of the eldership or the presbyteros, the Greek word is elder. That's what it means. And so New King James says eldership. I think King James says presbytery, which that is the Greek word. But anyway, it wasn't older people. It would just mean mature people. Okay? Because I'd be considered an elder too. Now, I'm not old. I ran into a wall with white paint. That's what happened to my hair. Okay? So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. But he was talking about mature people. And so more than likely, there was a meeting. They got together, Paul and Timothy. And Timothy's a young man. He's going out and ministering. Now, he's starting to pastor. That's what this book is about. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. He's pastoring churches. And so, you know, they pray for him, and as they're praying for them, somebody has a prophecy, one of the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10, where it talks about the nine gifts of the Spirit. And in that prophecy, you know, that gift was mentioned. And that anointing came on him. Ooh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. So it says here, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the elders or the eldership. Praise God. Meditate on these things. Love that. I often meditate on, whenever I consider the church and where we're going and what we're doing and what's our purpose and so on, I never neglect or forget the fact that this is God. And God called us to do this. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And if it's of man, it'll come to naught. But if it's of God, no man can stop it.
Amen.
Amen. Because it's either God or it's not. It's not a man thing, it's a God thing. I remember when God called me, I didn't want to pastor. Are you kidding me? I didn't want to teach when He called me to teach. I didn't want to pastor when He called me to pastor. I'd been saved 1 year and happy to be saved. I would have been happy the rest of my life, just living my life, talking about Jesus, living for Jesus, going to church. Are you kidding? I was living the life of Riley. But I just separated a whole generation there. You probably don't know what I was talking about if you're younger, but I was just doing great, doing fine, and then God calls me to teach. I didn't want to teach. Are you kidding? I just want to be a Christian. I mean, I've been saved 1 year, and He calls me to teach. Oh, now He wants me to do something. I won't do anything. I just want to be a Christian. And He calls me to teach, and I argued with Him about it. I said, God, you don't know. You've got to be kidding me. I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. I had no education, no money, and God didn't care. I had all kinds of reasons why this wasn't a good idea, but God didn't listen to me.
Amen.
He said, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean, I had a hard time with it, a real hard time with it. You understand, I had a real hard time with it. When I finally accepted, I didn't even tell Brenda. I was ashamed of the fact God called me to teach. I didn't want anybody to know I was called to teach. And we were married, okay? But I didn't tell her. It took me a while to get over that. So I finally got through that. And then, lo and behold, a few years went by, and he calls me to pastor. You have got to be kidding. Pastor, literally. You know what I did? I rebuked the devil. I would pray. I am not making this up. I would pray, and God would bring Will's point. He bring Will's point to my brain, to my mind, and I'm praying. And I'd see certain people, Will's point.
Yeah.
And I was in Houston. I was rolling. Are you kidding me? I was rolling. I was going to Lakewood Church. John Osteen was my pastor, and you know, I was teaching in classes of 4,000 people in the class.
Yeah.
Not even that many people in the town of Will's Point, Texas. And God, I want you to go to Will's Point, Texas. I want you to pastor a church. I said, I come against you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I against you. I did that for days. I don't know, weeks maybe. Fought that. I thought that the devil was trying to get me out of the will of God. That's how mixed up I was and how I was fighting that thing. But you know what? The fire you can't put out is usually God. And that's a fire I couldn't put out. I'd pray, and it would just burn and burn and burn in me. And I couldn't put it out. I just couldn't put it out. And so finally I gave in to it, you know. I drive into Will's Point. Listen, we had three seminars here before we started the church because I was going to come up here and just do preach and let it fall, you know, and then go back to Houston and go, see there, God, that wasn't God at all. That didn't work. I told you that wasn't going to work. And it did work. And we had great meetings, and I'd see the city limit signs start weeping. I couldn't shake it. I just couldn't shake it. I couldn't get away from it. But, you know, we obey God. And so the rest is history. Here we are now, almost 28 years later. And I am so glad I obey God. I'm so glad that I did not neglect the gift. I don't know where I tied that into this message, but somewhere in there. It's supernatural. Amen?
Amen.
It is supernatural. This is God we're talking about. This is not a man thing. It's a God thing. Listen, you can do anything God tells you to do. You can't. But you're going to have to obey. You're going to have to follow through. You're going to have to walk it out. He's telling Timothy, walk this thing out. Walk out the dream. Walk out the prophecy. Walk out the vision. Do it. Live it. Be it.
Yes, sir.
See, we got to be this thing. We got to be love. We got to be a witness. We got to be this example. We got to be this influence. Be the peer pressure. Don't give in to peer pressure. You be the peer pressure. You be the person that prays over your meals in front of everybody, no matter what they're doing. You pray. You be the witness.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Be the person that reads your Bible. Be the person that talks about the Lord and about church and about God. Hallelujah. So he says this. 15 to 16th verse. I'll go over these two verses super fast and we'll get out of here in about 5 minutes. Meditate on these things. What I just said. What he just wrote. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely, King James says, wholly, to them.
Amen.
Throw yourself into this. Yeah. You're not going to make this work. You know, you're not going to be a weekend warrior here. It's not going to work that way. But if you throw yourself into this, if you determine you're going to live this, you determine you're going to do these things, it's going to change your life.
Praise God.
It'll absolutely change your life. If you give yourself wholly to them, entirely to them.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the Word and talking and praying and reading the Bible is not something I do just on Sunday mornings.
That's right, amen.
It's not something, Brent, I just decide now we get spiritual now. It's Sunday. Let's get straight and get spiritual here. I mean, I don't go anywhere without my Bible. We talk about the Bible all the time. I mean,
right,
you know, goodness, we're preaching to each other and ministering to each other. We actually believe this stuff. But that's why it comes off so genuine, because it is our life. It's not something that we're getting together for a Sunday morning service. No, it's something we live. We live this. We pray over our children. We pray over situations. We really believe in living holy and all these things, and loving people, and repenting, and watching ourselves when we get bitter towards someone. We repent of that. That's wrong. We can't do that.
Amen.
We're Christians. We live this every day. Well, we do our best. We're not perfect. I'm not saying that. You don't understand what I'm saying. But you got to be. You got to continue in this. You got to give yourself wholly to this if you're going to get the result of it. If you want to be that leader, and you want to be that witness, you want to be that example, if you want to impact someone's life, you're going to have to give your life to this thing. I'm going to tell you, a hero sacrifices. A hero gives up his life and sacrifices himself to protect people, preserve people, to rescue people, to help people. They realize their life is not their own. They spend their life fighting for others. They don't think about it that way, but every day I choose to serve God, I am a hero. Every day you choose to do the right thing, you are a hero. Hallelujah. Amen. To somebody. Okay, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your progress or profiting may be evident to all or appear to all. God wants the world and wants other believers to see you progressing in these things and profiting in these things. You give yourself wholly to it, and it will be evident to everyone. They will see your profiting, and they will see your progress. Woo, hallelujah.
Amen.
I wish, and I don't in one sense and I do in another, I just wish that we could just kind of play the reel back sometimes in people's lives, you know. And hey, see Fred the way he was right before he got saved. You know, which wouldn't be for public consumption. You couldn't even show it. Me either. Am I telling the truth, Fred?
Amen.
I mean, you wouldn't want that. I'd be ashamed of it. He'd be ashamed of that. I wouldn't want you to know the way I lived and the things I said and the way I taught. Are you kidding me? But if you could just see where I've come from, if you could put that in perspective and miss out all the, you know, with all the junk you'd have to listen to, but to watch, but you see what Jesus has done for me.
That's why He sent you here, brother.
Amen. And Fred and you and all of us the same way, where we've come from, man. The progress we've made. See, the world is watching our profiting, watching our progress in this. And why is that so important? Well, look at the next verse, and this is it. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You'll be a hero. You won't just save yourself. You'll save those that hear you. And there's so much in that too, because they'll hear you because they'll see your life. See, a lot of people don't hear us because we're not living the same way we're talking.
That's right.
But if we're living this thing, they'll hear us.
Yes, sir.
And if they hear us, we'll save ourselves and them too. Woo, hallelujah. Now that's a hero.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the kind of hero I want to be. Amen.
That's
you too. You want to be that kind of, you can be that kind of person. The person that gives their lives for others by living for God, period. Your daily living for God is a witness and example to other people. It really is all about others. You're saved, now I'm going to heaven, now what? Well, now let's be a hero.
Amen.
Amen.